That's his prayer. That's what he has been called to do. That's what he has strived to do through his whole ministry. He wants to be one with the Father. That's what he's talking to us in John 10. And what is obvious when we talk about our purpose is to understand that God wants us to know who we are and to know the security that we have as his children. Because if we know this, it will indeed change our lives. It'll change how we act. It'll change how we live. It'll change our whole way of looking at things because we know the security of being a child of God. We know the safety of being a child of God. We know what it means to be an Easter person. To know that our God can overcome death. That for us, death isn't even to be feared. That's the difference of being a people of purpose who know the truth of the resurrection versus the people that we come across every day who are trying to search out security in the things of this world. Whether it be money, a job, relationships, whatever it is, they're seeking security, safety, their fulfillment in the things of this world, and we're called to be bigger and better than that, aren't we? Because we're resurrection people. We know that the Lord has done what he promised, and he is capable of doing even greater things. So I just wanted to go back to the beginning of chapter 10, because one of the things about Good Shepherd Sunday is if we read just the section we had for the gospel, we miss out on all of the fun that's been happening as Jesus has been sharing with the people who are at the Feast of Dedication. He's been sharing with them. This is a large feast. We often know it today as Hanukkah. How many know have heard of Hanukkah? Yeah? This is December. It's the feast that's designed to celebrate the overcoming of the Syrians when a guy named Antiochus Epiphanes, who came and who took control of Jerusalem, and he did terrible things. Like he set up the temple to be a shrine for Zeus. He was of Greek extraction, so he wanted to make the temple, and they did horrible things such as sacrifice pigs. And if you know any Jewish people, you know that there's one thing that Jewish people will not stand for. It's pigs. They are unclean. They don't want anything to do with it. I don't know how they live without bacon, but that's another whole story. That always confuses me. But they don't do it, okay? It's just not, no way. And so a guy who, if you read any of the intertestamental books, you get to hear the story how they overcame the Syrians, and they rededicated the temple. And the Feast of Dedication, or Hanukkah, is about that. And you see the menorahs at Christmas time, and it's an 8-day celebration. They talk about how the Lord provided for the oil to continue for the 8 days so that they could cleanse the temple. It was a big deal. And so the Feast of Dedication was people coming to Jerusalem. They didn't have to do this in Jerusalem. It could be done anywhere. It was one of those ones that was not a requirement to come to Jerusalem. But a lot of people came to Jerusalem, and they would spend the 8 days celebrating the temple. They would spend the 8 days celebrating the dedication of the temple. They would spend the 8 days celebrating that the Lord was present among his people in the temple. They would spend the 8 days singing the halal psalms, the praise songs. They would spend all this time singing praise to God for what he had done in not only cleansing the temple during those intertestamental periods, but by providing for them this place to worship and his presence among them. And so Jesus comes along in John 10, we read it here, and during the feast in winter, because it's in December, he's walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon, and the Jews ask him this funny question. They say, "How long will you keep us in suspense?" That's a weird way of asking a question, isn't it? How long will you keep us in suspense? How long are you going to keep us wondering about this? Tell us plainly. And he gets kind of indignant. He says, "I told you, and you not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. If you don't believe my words, look at what I've done." And it's interesting because this matters, and the only reason this matters is because he is, and we're going to go back a little bit here to look at John 10 in its context, but he's telling them that he's the good shepherd. He's aligning himself with God, And so he's doing what Antiochus Epiphanes did when he said he was God. When he came into the temple and he tried to turn into a temple for Zeus, when these things, they're very sensitive to this during the Feast of Dedication. They are very sensitive because they've seen what can happen when someone sets themselves up as God. And so when they're asking this question, I want to just be kind of, you know, sometimes when we read the Bible without understanding the context, we kind of are hard on those folks, aren't we? How many of us are hard on these folks? Yeah. I mean, because we, you know, it's kind of nice because we're like the cat that ate the canary. We know the end of the story, right? We got it all figured out because we got it plainly. But they don't. And for them, they're listening to what Jesus is saying. They're kind of like, is he saying that he's the Son of God? Is he saying that he's the Messiah? Is he saying what we think he's saying? And they're nervous about it, I think, because of the fact that it's on this feast that they remember what happened in the past. And they remember how they had to fight to take back the temple, to cleanse the temple, and to rededicate the temple. It's all about that. So they're listening carefully, and this is what he says. He said, the works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep, listen carefully, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I will give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So if you don't believe that I am the good shepherd, at least believe that the Father is the good shepherd. He's the one you have Psalms about. I and the Father are one. So this is how it starts out. This is the beginning of John 10. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. This is what he's talking. So, you know, again, if we only took the verses that we have for the gospel lesson, you'd be saying, well, why is he saying, I told you and you didn't listen to me? Because he's telling them at the beginning of chapter 10 that if you're my sheep, you hear my voice. You listen to me. You follow me. That's what he's telling them. And then he goes on, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, and whenever he says truly, truly, I don't know about you, but I wish the people would get it, that this was kind of like, pay attention, pay attention. Listen, listen, you know, how much, anyways, you know, he says this, and he doesn't say it very often, but when he says it, he's telling them something really important. It's kind of like if you were back then and you were writing it down, you would have took out your highlighter and you would have pushed the highlighter across, right? Because this is important. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You see, if they're listening, they understand why he's using the term good shepherd. They're understanding that he's saying what he's going to do. They're understanding that he's doing it because the Father has given him the call to do it. That's why I wanted to share the context. He who has a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolves coming and thieves and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. Why is he going to use the word snatch? Later on, because no one can snatch them from his hands or the Father's hands. Why? Because he just used the reference to the wolves. What do the wolves do? They snatch them. Because some people say, why do you use that word? It doesn't make any sense. If they only hear that part of the gospel lesson and not the context, they're not going to understand. That's what the wolf does. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because not the real shepherd flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. And then again, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I'll bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Who did he receive everything from? The Father. Is he saying it? Is he like Antiochus Epiphanes? I'm the man and I'm going to do this? No. He receives it from the Father. And he's doing it because it's the Father's will. He says, I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? And some people didn't really like what he was saying. Kind of get that? Yeah? When you call somebody a demon, you probably don't like what they're saying. Yet others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So what works was he doing that he's referencing? The Father's work. But what did he do here? Because they're giving it away. Can a demon, what? Open the eyes of the blind. What has Jesus been doing? He's been healing people, right? Been letting people walk. He's been letting people hear. He's been letting people see. He's been healing them. He's been bringing them to wholeness. This is what Jesus has been doing. That's why these words are telling. He says, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And this is where Jesus tells us the gospel lesson. So, number one, Jesus' purpose is to be at one with the Father and to relay the Father's plan. He wants us to know what we have in him. Because Jesus is alive, Jesus is risen from the dead, he's ascended to the right hand of God, and he's poured out his Holy Spirit. He is guaranteed for us. The Holy Spirit is a guarantee, as Paul says, for us, the salvation we have in Christ Jesus. And he wants us to be secure in our identity. Where does Satan or the wolves try to snatch us? They try to snatch us when we're not sure if we're not listening, first of all, but we're not sure if we're really truly one of the lambs, right? They try to take us away from the flock. Have you ever noticed this? Wolves always try to take us away from the flock. And so he said, just as he and the Father are one, we are one in answer to Jesus' prayer in John 17. Remember the high priestly prayer? We use it usually during Lent, especially during Holy Week. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed this, that they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. It's awesome. So just as Jesus was one in purpose with the Father, so that he was a good shepherd, as the Father's a good shepherd, what does he want us to be? One in purpose with the Father and the Son, right? Through the Holy Spirit, he wants us to be one in purpose. He wants us to be one as he and the Father are one. He goes on, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. He wants us to be one in purpose. And what that means is he wants us to understand who we are. You are royalty. This celebrated a new prince in England. You see that this week? Big deal, right? Well, that's the way the Father feels about you. I don't even know what the name is yet. This is really telling because it used to be I knew this stuff, but Archie, okay. That's the way that people feel about Archie is the way that the Father feels about you. Isn't that awesome? Because you're royalty. You're chosen. You're holy. That's amazing. You know how many of us go along each day sounding like we're nothing? Woe is me. The sky's falling. Isn't that the way we go around? And do you think that Archie's ever going to have a chance to do that? Probably not. Because he's going to know who he is, right? I guarantee you, he will know who he is. And he'll be reminded of who he is. And when people are trying to take pictures of him all the time, he will remember how important and precious he is. But you, the people of God, are just as precious to the Father. And yet Satan and the wolf in sheep's clothing wants you to think you really don't matter. Just a number. yeah, you're not that important. You're not that significant. That's what the theory of evolution tells us. We're just here by accident, so you're not that important. You're just a blip. What a difference. You see the difference? What a difference between the idea that we are royalty, that we are precious, that the good shepherd calls us by name, he knows us, we follow him, and he wants us to be one with him, versus the idea that we are just sort of an accident. You see the difference? See why this is important? I know you're saying, well, why are you belaboring the point, Pastor? We got Mother's Day things to do. Okay. The reason I'm belaboring the point is because this is significant in how we act and how we live. And the whole point of the sermon series on purpose is understand what is our purpose as Easter people. Because we can go around saying, yeah, we're better than those other people because we celebrate Easter for 7 weeks. Yay. But the reason we do that, the reason we have this season of 50 days leading up to Pentecost is because it is so significant to who we are. It is our identity. It's who we are. We have a good shepherd because we are his sheep. So Jesus' purpose was to testify to the truth. He tells them plainly, even though they don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear what the word says. That's our human nature. That's sin. Jesus invites them to trust him. He invites them to listen to his voice. He calls us by name. He knows us. He is our good shepherd, and nothing can separate us from him. Nothing can snatch him out of his hands. It says that right there. He says, nothing can snatch my sheep out of my hands. This is what Jesus is saying, which is really cool. But then he says, and if you're not sure about me, then I'm going to tell you something. Nothing can snatch them from my Father's hands. If being secure in Jesus isn't enough for you, like it wouldn't be enough, right? If it's not enough for you, then just listen. Because no one, my Father who is greater than all, this is what he says, my Father who is greater than all, he has chosen them and no one can snatch them from his hand. Now I want to be clear on this. Doesn't mean you can't jump from his hands, okay? Because there's a kind of a heresy out there of eternal security that once you're saved, always saved. I want to tell you that it saddens me to say this, but there are some people who choose to jump out of the Father's hands because they want to do things their own way. They don't want to hear the voice anymore. When you're in the Father's hands, you're close to the voice, right? Think about that. When you're in the Father's hands, you're close to the voice. And maybe you want to do things. You don't want to listen to what the Father's saying because you want to do things your own way. Because and sheep are dumb. Listening to one of the pastors say that he had a member of his church that came back to him. This was in cattle country. Came back to him several years after he'd gone on a trip to the Holy Land. And he came back and he says, you know, I'm really, really upset with this church. And the pastor said, well, why? He says, you always call us sheep. And the pastor said, yeah, that's what Jesus called us, yes. He said, well, sheep are dumb. I've seen it with my own eyes. I think you just should call us something else. He said, what, cows? That was humorous, but anyways. Sheep don't necessarily want to go the way the shepherd leads them. But yet when they try to do it on their own, they end up in briar patches. They end up in rocks. They end up in all kinds of places because they can't see. And yet the truth of the matter is the Lord wants to lead us to the place he has for us. And he promises that no one can snatch us from his hands. If we stay in his hands, if we desire to be his sheep, if we listen to his voice and we follow him, he says nothing can snatch us. Nothing can separate us from him. That's security, isn't it? When you know who you are, when you know what you have, when you know who's got your back, when you know who is protecting you, when you know whose hands and arms are around you, does that not change your perspective on things? How many of us, when we look at people who are being martyred or have been martyred in the past, say, how could they ever do that? Well, I believe it's in those moments when you have nothing left that you really sense the presence and the arms of the Father. It's in those moments where you've tried everything yourself and it's all failed that you really sense the hands of God. Brothers and sisters, I hope that you sense the hands of the Lord each and every day in your life. I hope that you never jump out of his hands. That you always allow him to be your good shepherd. To hold you close. To provide for you. To give you that sense of security. Because when you have that sense of security, it changes your heart. It changes your mind. It changes your perspective. And even more importantly, it allows you to dream. The saddest thing that I see in life is when people who had great dreams get to a point in their life where they say, I can't do it anymore. It's not going to happen. And it saddens me. It saddens me. Do you think William ever thinks to himself, gee, that's never going to happen? Maybe if Chuck keeps living, but, you know, that's British royalty. I'm sorry. I don't have to bore you with these details. But, you know, I mean, when you're royalty, you kind of know that the best is yet to come. And yet we have let the worries, the anxieties, the troubles, the things that affect us, we have let them zap our enthusiasm, entheos, us in God, and we've allowed them to cause us to question our identity. And we've allowed them to take away our ability to dream. Because when you're secure in the hand of the Father, you know that he's got you. He calls you. He wants you to know how important you are. The so what of knowing that we are his sheep and he is our good shepherd is that we can dream big. We can hope for the desires of our hearts. And we can dream even bigger again. Because, you know, when you hear a sermon, sometimes you wonder, what is the point? It's like the Hebrew people were asking, you know, tell us plainly. I'm telling you plainly. If you know the good shepherd, if you know the love because you've had the love of a mother or a father who has shown you love no matter what you've done, if you know the love that God has for you, that nothing can snatch you from his hands, that he has got your back, that he is there with you all the time, that he has done everything necessary for salvation, then you can dream big. Let's watch this video.